you get into the short corner, your high post offensive player just makes a dive or a flash straight to the rim.
K-State answers with a Glenn three. 19 points.
Yeah, freshman on the road.
Kansas State, a winner 60-49 here in Stillwater.
K-State women win again. They're 2-0 in Big 12 play, 12-2 overall, and yet somehow not ranked in the top 25. They win Oklahoma State 60-49. Briley Glenn, a freshman. This team has got some really good youth and talent. Briley Glenn, a career high with 19 last night, and K-State with some clutch fourth quarter shooting, winning 60-49 in Stillwater. This is K-State's first five-game winning streak since the 18-19 women's basketball season. Glenn had a career-high 19 points, 7 in the fourth quarter. And junior center and All-America candidate Ayuka Lee had 18 points, 8-11 shooting and 6 rebounds. And with her 18 points, she's 21st all-time on a K-State career scoring list. And she's just a junior, and she's the 20th player in program history with 500 or more career-made field goals. K-State women back in action on the road at West Virginia on Saturday at 6 o'clock. Coming up yet on the Sports Ticket, we'll get an explanation of Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator of the Chiefs, on why he brought a cover zero all-out blitz on a 3rd and 27 that we may go back and look at and say that's the reason Chiefs didn't get home field in the playoffs. We'll go over that and hear his explanation. And also, Aaron Rodgers upset with MVP voter. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers and also current NFL Hall of Famer, his thoughts on somebody holding grudges. Antonio Brown's broken his silence. Do we believe his side of the story? And a tennis star has been denied entry into Australia. Plus, the Super Bowl could be moved to a different location. I say bring it to Kansas City. Why not? And Brown Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, be with us. Talk KU hoops. Oh, yay. It's now 2 above 0 instead of 3. That's excellent.
We're going the wrong way there, bud.
That's you know, I had somebody the other day, they were telling me, like, I don't like your forecast. I said, it's not my forecast. I just read it. Somebody else provides the forecast. I said, I can make stuff up if you want me to, yeah, if it makes you feel any better. And I said, or I could just go ahead and read a forecast from another city and just act like it's our forecast. So today, that's what I did. I went ahead and read the forecast. 79 tomorrow, 75 with a chance. I said thunderstorms coming up on Saturday. Oh, wait a minute. That's Miami Beach, Florida. So I said, hey, if it makes you feel warm and fuzzy, I'll read whatever forecast you want me to read if that messes you up in your mind to make you think it's warmer than it is.
Let me think I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, or something like that.
Phoenix sounds good right now. 100 degrees sounds great to me right now. I'll take 100 over 2 any day of the week. That's just me.
Absolutely.
All right. Local sports schedule. We know the games for St. John's, Tipton, and Sacred Heart have been postponed tonight, by the way. So
yeah,
that takes care of that. But I'll let Dusty handle it from there, plus our athlete of the week.
The only other thing was Wamigo at Concordia Wrestling, and Concordia doesn't have school today. So there's no way they're going to be wrestling tonight at home either. So,
no, probably not.
Yeah, that's a wrap on today's schedule. So you can find all the latest in local sports there at ncksports.com as far as our schedule. And the schedule for area teams coming up the rest of the week. We do have an athlete of the week. Lakeside senior Tyler Schoen has been named the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. He scored a career-high 23 points, helping Lakeside to a 58-47 win over Logan Palco Tuesday night in Downs. He made just 3 field goals in the game, but asserted himself on offense by getting to the free throw line 20 times and making 17 for the game. Schoen's now averaging just over 10.5 points a game on the season and adding 3 rebounds. He leads Lakeside in free throw makes and attempts now also at 34 out of 46 on the season and shooting 76% from the charity stripe. That's second best on the team for Lakeside here this season as far as free throw shooting is concerned. So congratulations to Lakeside senior Tyler Schoen, the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. And you can nominate an athlete of the week. You can visit NCKSSports.com for more info. We'll announce the winners each week, and you can nominate an athlete from any school sport. So congratulations to Tyler for being the athlete of the week. We do have a broadcast schedule. We'll tell you about coming up tonight. We have our high school basketball locker room chats on Katy Country 94 as we'll chat with the head coaches of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. And those will begin around 5:15 again here this evening on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com. And then coming up tomorrow night on our stations, we have high school basketball for you on Katy Country 94 and live video streams. The Bullet Trojan channel at ncksports.com's Bullet at Hoisington. Pregame coverage at 5:50 for the girls and tip off at 6. The boys will follow. And then on Z96.3 tomorrow night, I'll be up in Cortland for Lakeside at Pike Valley in the Northern Plains League. Approximate times are the same, 5:50 pregame girls tip at 6 and the boys follow up in Cortland coming up tomorrow night in the Northern Plains League Lakeside at Pike Valley. Again, if you ever have a question about our broadcast schedule, you can always visit nckssports.com, and that's the home for all the latest in high school sports here in North Central Kansas.
All righty. Yeah, look forward to locker room chats coming up later tonight. And as you said before, wrestling chats will begin again here in 2022 next Tuesday, and look forward to high school basketball tomorrow night as well. Okay, so this is interesting stuff, and I love when people say things. I love when coaches give you something. Steve Spagnuolo seems to be a pretty honest, forthright guy. And listen, before you think Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator of the Chiefs, doesn't know what he's doing or he's a moron, he has 2 Super Bowl rings because, honestly, well, one was because his defense shut down the greatest offense maybe of all time, the New England Patriots, when they were 18-0. That was his defense that got all the pressure on Brady, okay? It was his defense that got the Chiefs over the hump to win a Super Bowl in Patrick Mahomes' second year as a starter. Remember, the year before, Bob Sutton's defense was horrendous, and the Chiefs couldn't get off the field against the Patriots in the AFC title game and lost and didn't get the ball in overtime. So Steve Spagnuolo is a very smart dude. He's a very good coach. But everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. And I will say that if the play would have worked, and the play we're talking about, it's a 3rd and 27 against the Bengals, which came with 3 minutes and 19 seconds left in the game. The game was tied 31-31. The Chiefs just went right down the field and got a field goal. And if there wasn't a great disguised blitz by the Bengals, the Chiefs probably would have scored a touchdown that drive. So it was a great defensive call by their defensive coordinator. But it was 3rd and 5 they brought out all blitz. And I understand it because you're like, dude, we don't want to give up a touchdown. The Chiefs are just carving us apart on that drive. That made sense from their defensive coordinator. 3rd and 27, you're sitting here thinking, all right, lay back in coverage. You got Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Melvin Ingram. Rush 4, keep everything in front of you. And, yes, you go ahead and give up a field goal. It's not a gimme field goal, but probably a field goal, because I'm going to pull it up. This was the 3rd and 27 play. Was at the Kansas City 41.
Yeah.
So what's happening is that they could have attempted a 58-yard field goal. The Bengals have a very good field goal kicker. The Chiefs, it was 3rd and 27. So all of us Chiefs fans in Chiefs Kingdom are sitting there going, listen, the way Joe Burrow is connecting with Ja'Marr Chase left and right against our corners, let's just go ahead. If we give up, I mean, I honestly felt the same way. I'm like, we could give up 20. I don't care. Give up 20 yards, and then be 4th and 7. They ain't going to go for it. It's a tie game. They're going to kick a field goal. Just go ahead and hold them to a field goal. So I was feeling pretty good about it. In fact, my thought process was just please don't get a defensive interference or hold, which the officials had a couple questionable calls. So that was my biggest concern. I didn't think we would leave Ward one-on-one against Chase to pick up 29, 30 yards and get a first down. Which that was the play of the game. You can blame officials all you want, but that was the play of the game. And on that play, the Chiefs didn't just blitz. They all-out blitzed. It was cover zero. It was man-on-man, Ward on an island. Thornhill don't know what he was doing on the play. Not sure what Matthew was doing on the play either, to be quite honest. It's interesting people criticize Thornhill, saying what was he doing on the play, I've noticed. What was Tyrann Mathieu doing on the play? It's like Tyrann Mathieu cannot be criticized, I've noticed. Or so it seems.
It's like they're scared because he came out and called our fan base toxic or something. Yeah. So now we don't want to say anything bad about him and make him mad again.
I mean, Matthew's a great player, but there was a couple plays against the Bengals where you're just like, what in the world? Where is he at? So Steve Spagnuolo was asked yesterday to explain his thinking on the 3rd and 27 all-out blitz that he called. His answer was that any additional yardage the Chiefs allowed would have given the Bengals a makeable field goal. The idea was to get an incomplete pass, he said. It was to treat it as 3rd and 6. I have a major problem with that line of thinking. First of all, I understand the line of thinking if Matt Cassel's your quarterback. I understand the line of thinking if Tyrod Taylor's your quarterback. I understand the line of thinking if Drew Locke or Teddy Bridgewater is your quarterback. You have Patrick Mahomes. So it's 3rd and 27.
I have a better understanding if you're defending those quarterbacks as well and not Joe Burrow.
Right. So it's 3rd and 27, and Smagnola's worried about the Bengals getting 6 yards to kick a 52-yard field goal? is his explanation. Now, I understand as a defensive coordinator, you don't want to give up points. But you gave up 31 up to that point. What's another three? Because the way he approached it, and granted, let me say this. If Ja'Marr Chase drops the pass, if Burrow makes a bad pass, if Ward makes a heck of a play, we're not talking about this.
Yeah.
So in fairness to Steve Spagnuolo, and he's done all-out blitzes sometimes, and you're like, wow, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Romo's talking about it. He's like, that's him. That's his identity. And we could see this. We could get to the playoffs and be in the same situation or in the Super Bowl, and Spags may do the same thing, and it may work, and we're going to be he's a genius. Or he may not do it, and we'll be sitting there going, why did we sit back in coverage on 3rd and 27? We should have blitzed him. That's coming. So as a coordinator and a coach, you're darned if you do, darned if you don't. Especially when it doesn't work. But I didn't agree with the decision at the time. And this is not hindsight 2020. I think a blitz was okay. I don't understand leaving Ward by himself against Ja'Marr Chase, who has absolutely torn you to shreds. That's the part I don't understand. Where was it? Why wasn't there safety help over the top with Chase? I don't get it. Don't let Chase beat you. That's the part I don't understand. Now, maybe Thornhill screwed up. Maybe Matthew screwed up, and Spags isn't going to throw his players under the bus. He never has. He's just like Andy Reid. He ain't going to throw his players under the bus. So maybe that's what happened. Maybe the team totally botched the coverage that Steve Spagnuolo called for. It could be. It's possible. But I don't like the thinking. The problem I have with the decision is the thinking. The thinking process. 3 minutes and 19 seconds left in a tie game. You had a stretch where you scored four straight touchdowns. Four straight possessions, four touchdowns. Now, granted, second half, the Chiefs only had the ball three times, all right, and never got the ball back with 6:01 to play. So you're trying to stop the Bengals from getting 3 points, and what you actually did is you stopped your quarterback from ever getting the ball again what you did. Now, of course, you can't foresee that happening. You can't foresee 1,000 plays being snapped from the one where they can milk the clock, okay?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. And Spags was not a defensive coordinator, but surely at home he watched it. In 2018, Patrick Mahomes had 30 seconds to get in field goal range to tie the AFC title game against the Patriots. And did it!
Yeah.
And if the Chiefs would have been gutsy and snapped it one more time, I still think they might have been able to score a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done it many other times. He did it against the Chargers. He did it with Spags was on the sideline last year. Late in the game, got in a 50, and all. But by the way, here's one more part of the thinking that makes no sense. Harrison Butker can kick it from 58.
Yeah.
So you don't need a lot of yards to get in the field goal range. So the thinking to me is simple, like everybody else in Chiefs Kingdom. If we give up 10 yards here and they kick a 48-yarder, so what? It's 4th and 17. They kick the field goal. Okay, the Bengals go up. We've got 3 minutes and 19 seconds and 3 timeouts in our pocket. You don't think Patrick Mahomes can get a field goal in 3 minutes and 19 seconds with 3 timeouts plus the 2-minute warning? That's the problem with the thinking. Think about this for a second. On 3rd down and 27 at the Kansas City 41 in a 31-31 tie, and Joe Burrow is tearing you up throwing the ball, and Ja'Marr Chase, and you could argue, well, that's why I brought the blitz, because he's tearing us up. Yeah, but 3rd and 7, I get it, but 3rd and 27, I don't. But Spags is going, well, I treated it like 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, because I didn't want him getting field goal range. So he's thinking about preventing 3 points. I'm thinking prevent the first down so that they don't even have a chance to go for it on 4th down, and they don't get 7 points. You have Patrick Mahomes on your team, Coach Spags. You've got the best, I think still the best offense in football. Statistically, it's not, but I think it is one of, if not the best. You've got Kelce. You've got Hill. The second half, you only had the ball 3 times. Part of that's on the defense, not getting off the field. You are worried about the Bengals getting 3 points with 3 minutes and 19 seconds left in the game, and the Chiefs have Mahomes, 3 minutes and 19 seconds, and 4 timeouts, counting the 2-minute warning? Listen, I understand it with a minute 19 to go, maybe. A minute 19, maybe, although I'd argue a minute 19 with 3 timeouts is tons of time as well.
Yeah.
With a kicker that can boom it from about 60. That's another part of this equation nobody's even talking about. And who's to say the Chiefs wouldn't go down, score a touchdown, and win it anyway? I'm just saying all they had to do is kick a field goal to tie it if Spags, plays coverage, keeps everything in front of him. And think about it. there was a play earlier in the game when the Bengals had a 3rd and 16. You know what the Chiefs did? They kept everything in front of them, and the Bengals got like 10 and punted. That's, to me, what they should have done on this play. And instead, they didn't, and they never got the ball back. Now, in fairness to Spags, how's he to know that they're going to have like 18 snaps from inside the one and milk the clock? But the point still stands. You need to know your personnel. When you're a coach, you need to know your personnel. Like when Andy Reid, when the defense was so bad a few years ago and it's 4th and 1 at midfield and he punts it, that's a bad decision because your defense sucks. So you need to know your personnel, all right? And for instance, when you have 30 seconds left before halftime and you have 3 timeouts and you have Alex Smith at quarterback at your own 20, you're probably not going to be as aggressive. You have Patrick Mahomes at your own 20, you're probably going to take a shot or at least make a pass to see if you can get something good on first down. Mm-hmm. You make your decisions based on your personnel. Why are the Chiefs this year being a little bit more conservative on offense? Because their defense is better.
Yeah.
You know your personnel. Steve Spagnuolo forgot the offensive personnel. And I know he's in charge of the defensive personnel, but hasn't he heard of a guy named Mahomes? Because 3 minutes and 19 seconds and 4 timeouts to get 3 points, that's, I mean, the Chiefs have to, like, slow down and milk the clock, the one on the play clock, not to score too quickly.
Yeah.
So I don't like it. I don't like the explanation, but I give him credit for being honest and explaining what he was thinking. But this was, I understand it if it's a minute to go in the game and a field goal beats you. There was 3 minutes and 19 seconds and the Chiefs had all 3 timeouts. I don't get it. I don't get that. You're acting like Matt Castle's your quarterback. Yeah. Or Damon Heward. Yeah. I don't get it. You're acting like you have no potential to score on offense. You're playing it like your offense is not very good. I don't get that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're also acting like the other quarterback hasn't carved defenses for 900 yards over the last 2 weeks.
Right. Exactly. Like, and a receiver that has 200 against you in the game.
He set the rookie record, I think, already in the game.
Yes, he had.
And so you're just like, man, I understand
the
thought process and thinking, right? Sure. Like when he says it, you're like, okay, well, this is what he had planned. I don't agree with it.
And
but
a defensive
I know
coordinator's job is to not allow points. And so when it's 3rd and 15 and the Bengals are on 40, he can play coverage because he knows even if they get 10, they're not giving me a field goal range. Whereas here he's saying, listen, if they get 6 yards, they're kicking a 52 yarder.
Yeah. I understand what he said and why he said it
sure.
and why he did it.
Don't agree
but
with
I
it.
Don't agree with it. And it's just like, man, obviously, if it's Teddy Bridgewater back there, that's not – I mean, he's mobile, but he's not going to throw the ball like that to Chase. Like, he's not go after him. Blitz those guys, Drew Lock. Blitz those guys, right?
Maybe.
If you want to.
Maybe. But I still don't think I would.
I don't think I would either.
Because I trust my offense.
Yeah, but I'm just like, man, these guys probably aren't going to be throwing that kind of dime to Chase down the field on 3rd and 27. So this is all kinds of things that I don't – agree with it.
Maybe the other thinking, and to defend Spags just a hair, maybe the other line of thinking was, listen, if we blitz, he's got to get rid of the ball quicker so there's less chance for us to get a defensive hold or PI, and we know there are a few questionable calls. Maybe that was his thinking too.
Yeah, and that all goes into that too.
Sure.
With when you do force a quarterback to throw quicker, that's a benefit no matter what, usually.
And in defense of Spags as well, Joe Burrow made one hell of a throw.
There's no doubt about it.
I mean,
and Chase had to make a heavy catch.
Ward
had a hand on the ball.
Ward's coverage was not bad.
He jumped up and literally had a hand on the ball.
I know.
And Chase made a play.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are two guys that are used to making plays together.
Yeah.
And
did it in college.
They've done it for a while, and they did it all day on Sunday.
Yeah, how about that?
That's what's more frustrating is you let the guys that were beating you all day beat you again.
Yeah, it's like my problem is if you double Chase and Boyd caught it for 30, I'd be a little bit better with it.
Yeah.
You just don't let that same guy beat you over and over. That's one of my biggest qualms about it. Novak Djokovic will not defend his title at the Australian Open this month after he's denied entry into the country on Thursday over an issue with his visa, the Prime Minister of Australia said. Released a statement on Twitter announcing that, you know, Novak had a medical exemption. However, Australia has their rules at the border, and they announced that the top-ranked tennis pro no longer be granted entry into the country just days after he received that medical exemption that would have allowed him to participate in the Grand Slam tournament. He's the defending champion. The statement read, "Rules are rules. Mr. Djokovic's visa has been canceled. Rules are rules, especially when it comes to our borders. No one is above these rules. Our strong border policies have been critical to Australia having one of the lowest death rates in the world from COVID. We are continuing to be vigilant." What a crazy story that is. So somebody could argue you could just go get vaccinated and then you'd be able to play in the tournament too. But if Novak wants to stick to his convictions and not be vaccinated, then I guess that's his decision. But he's going to have to live with it now. Antonio Brown has broken his silence in a lengthy statement through his attorney. The wide receiver explained his side of the situation that unfolded on Sunday when he departed the Buccaneers sideline in the midst of their matchup against the Jets. Brown is alleging that the team is engaging in an ongoing cover-up surrounding his injured ankle. He noted in the statement that an MRI on his ankle revealed broken bone fragments stuck in his ankle, the ligament torn from the bone and cartilage loss, which are beyond painful. He is set to undergo surgery on that ankle, according to, and I'll clean this up and paraphrase it because it's a long statement, but Antonio Brown basically said that the coaches all knew that he was hurt. He didn't practice Thursday and Friday, so forth and so on, and the coaches said they really needed him for the game. He said, I've played through pain as much as I can and I have before in my career. I decided to go ahead and try to help the team. They coaxed me into wanting to play. I played, and then I knew I wasn't able to be the player that I could be, and I was in pain on the field. They told me to go into the game. I said, I can't. My ankle's hurting too much, and they didn't even have me see the trainer or refer me to a doctor or nothing like this, and they just told me to go in, and when I said I refused to go in because my ankle was really bad, Bruce Arians said, you're done. And he did a throat slash gesture to say he is cut. And Brown said, so I didn't quit on my teammates. I was cut right there on the sideline by my coach. So then I didn't want to have the brand on me anymore because I was no longer part of that brand. Thus, I took my stuff off. I left the field. And now they're using this cover-up and going on and on about how I'm the one that did this. I was already cut. They had quit on me before I quit on them. Do you believe his story? Did you read his statement?
I read most of it, mm-hmm. and I kind of browsed and read the highlights and mm-hmm. things like that.
It's very detailed.
It is very detailed. The thing that's weird to me is just like the way he ran off the field didn't look like he was injured. Like
true. But in fairness, when jumping up and down doesn't make it. I mean, it's different than actually cutting and making football moves.
It is different. Than
but
that,
I agree
sure.
with you. If he's really in pain, he's probably not doing what he did.
What he did was just like not.
I agree.
Conducive to a really
Agreed.
Debilitating ankle injury,
Agreed.
Like he's making it sound, right?
Agreed.
Now, he might have an ankle injury. I'm not saying he doesn't.
Sure.
And he didn't want to further injure it.
And I think that's what the Bucks are arguing is, we don't deny that he had an ankle injury. What we're saying is, we don't think it was as bad as he made it out to be.
Yeah.
And they could argue, look at how he jumped off the field
yeah.
in the end zone.
But, I mean, he's probably got a shot in that ankle and it's probably feeling okay, and he probably doesn't want to.
He said he took a
worse,
shot
you know?
That was not recommended by the NFL
yeah.
because the team wanted him to.
And that happens.
That can happen too.
A lot. There's
right.
no question about it. I mean, I've heard Pat McAfee talk about it with a lot of players on his show. I mean, that happens.
Right.
Cortisone, all those things happen a lot, right?
Right.
And so maybe that was making him feel a little bit better in the moment, and maybe he just didn't want to make it worse. And I think that's probably more of what it was than you know, right at that time, just having this debilitating ankle injury.
Yeah, I think
but
so,
I don't,
too.
I mean,
but, you know,
I think there's probably some truth to what he's saying, and there's some
it.
Stuff that he probably exaggerated.
I think so. I think the truth usually lies in the middle. I don't think Bruce Arians being completely honest about it either. So I think both sides are lying or misconstruing the truth on purpose, mm-hmm. if you want to call it that. Same thing, be lying, I guess. Aaron Rodgers, this is very interesting stuff. MVP voter. Aaron Rodgers has a chance to win his fourth MVP. And if I had to pick MVP of this league this year, honestly, I would, for me, it'd be number one would be Cooper Kupp of the Rams. Number two would be Aaron Rodgers. And probably number three on that list for me, MVP, would be Jonathan Taylor. And then my fourth pick would probably be Tom Brady. That would be how I'd vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not because I don't think Brady's having a really good year. It's just that I think Rodgers... I think those three have had better years. And I know Brady has more touchdown passes, but he has, many more interceptions
mm-hmm.
than Rodgers does. And he has more weapons, Tom Brady has, offensively, than Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion. So anyway, MVP voter, who, by the way, is from Chicago. People are leaving this out of the story.
Yeah.
People from Chicago hate Aaron Rodgers. Packer fans love him. Bear fans hate him.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers earlier this year said, I own you. There are some people think Aaron Rodgers is a jerk. I've heard this for a long time. And some people think he's great. Jordy Nelson's good friends with him. Of course, they were teammates, this and that. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys say they love playing with him, but there are some people that have been rubbed the wrong way by Aaron Rodgers in the past that have been a teammate of his. It should be noted.
Mm-hmm.
So is he a jerk? Yeah, he's probably a jerk at times. He might be. He might be a big-time jerk. He might be great. I don't know. But an MVP voter who apparently has never met the guy said basically that I'm not voting for him because of him being a jerk and because...
Biggest jerk in the league, I believe.
That's what he called him, biggest jerk in the league, and also basically was holding against him about his whole COVID-19 mm-hmm. explanation, this and that. Here's Aaron Rodgers' response to that reporter.
After what you said last week about what it would mean to win your fourth MVP, what do you think of one of the 50 voters coming out and saying yesterday, quote, "I don't think you can be the biggest jerk in the league and punish your team and your organization and your fan base the way he did and be the MVP. I think he's a bad guy, and I don't think a bad guy can be the MVP at the same time."
I think he's a bum. I think he's an absolute bum. He doesn't know me. I don't know who he is. No one knew who he was probably until yesterday's comments. But, I mean, and I listened to the comments, but to say he had his mind made up in the summertime, in the off season, that, you know, I had zero chance of winning MVP, in my opinion, should exclude, you know, future votes. You know, his problem isn't with me being a bad guy or the biggest jerk in the league. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about me. I mean, I've never met him. I've never had lunch with him. I've never had an interview with him. His problem is I'm not vaccinated. You know, so if he wants to go on a crusade and collude and come up with an extra letter to put on the award just for this season and make it the most valuable vaccinated player, then he should do that. But he's a bum, and I'm not going to waste any time worrying about that stuff. He has no idea who I am. He's never talked to me in his life. But it's unfortunate that those sentiments – it's surprising that he would even say that, to be honest. But, yeah, I knew this was possible. Talked about it on McAfee weeks ago. But crazy.
So that brings up the question, and we know this. Voters hold things against players. Whether a player had one bad day and treated the reporter badly, that'll be – it's called impressions. It happens in real life. You don't think as much of a person if they were rude to you. I'm sure I run into somebody, I had a bad day, I might not have made a good impression on them, and they think I'm a jerk.
Yeah.
And I've met people that I maybe think are a jerk, and it was just they had a bad day. But the thing is, this guy hasn't met Aaron Rodgers, as far as Aaron Rodgers knows.
Yeah.
But I don't think you should be making up your mind in the summer that he's not going to be MVP. Let it play out, and if you still want to hold a grudge against him and not vote for him, that's fine, I guess, because people have done it many times in baseball, especially. Guys have voted. I mean, the fact that we didn't have a unanimous person into the Hall of Fame until Mariano Rivera tells you all you need to know about people having grudges. But Chris Carter is a Hall of Famer. He did not make it on the first ballot. Listen to his story, and he makes some really good points.
Well, this, to me, this hits right at home. Because I'll take you back to 2013. At that time, for those who don't know, I was second in catches in NFL history. Second in touchdowns. 1,100 catches, 130 touchdowns. And I come up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And at that point, I never really thought that much about it, how much these voters held my future in their hands. Mm. And they decided that those numbers were not good enough for me to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And then the thing that really got me upset was because of my childish reaction and being upset about it, they began to spread that blasphemy in the room that for the next 5 years, I didn't even get close. So I didn't even go on the field ever again. But that first time getting in, that's when I was the closest to getting in. And then they started talking amongst each other. So I understand what Aaron is going through right now. And players are judged by their numbers, by their wins, and by the accolades that they get. And for me, at that time in 2013, I think that I had about 14 years of sobriety. I had turned my life around. I had been the Walter Payton Man of the Year. I had helped so many other players try to have a productive career. And for these people to somehow come up with ideas that, oh, he'll get in next year, that was the worst excuse ever. So I feel for Aaron, and people should be able to remove their biases before they vote on these things. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've been in a lot of buildings. There's jerks in every building. And I can give you a list of journalists that are jerks. I've been doing this a minute. There's a bunch of them that are jerks. And he was wrong about Aaron Rodgers. There are a lot of jerks in the NFL. He's not the biggest one.
Strong words from Chris Carter, and I can't disagree with him. They're jerks everywhere. And honestly, probably everybody in the world at one point or another has somehow been a jerk to somebody. So, and, but you're going to hold that, and you're going to not yet get the numbers, you're not going to do this, you're going to make it personal. And unfortunately, this is not the first time it's happened with voters and people that, that are journalists, and some of those people that have never played professional sports, many of them haven't, so they don't quite understand it. And so we'll see how this plays out and if it prevents Aaron Rodgers from being the MVP for a fourth time.